Yes, good morning. This is Daniel King. Just like to bless you this morning with the power of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I have been thinking a lot about that the last day here, being that it's over Easter time, been thinking about the power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And I noticed yesterday at our church service, where we were, that there was quite a question that rose up in a number of people, and including myself, is that what does the resurrection really mean for us today? A lot of us are familiar with the story, you know, we've heard it many times. But then there's the question, what does it mean? And I've been thinking about that, and I had to think of Peter as he went through that with Jesus. I had to think, well, what did it mean to him? You know, and I had to think of John and the disciples, because obviously they were right there with Jesus, and we all know, you know, the story of what it meant to Jesus. We know that. For Jesus, it meant freedom from the earthly parameters. That's what resurrection meant to Jesus. I'm not always sure how to piece that together as far as Jesus' parameters here, but if we just take a look at it literally, it does not appear that Jesus had supernatural powers before he was resurrected, but he had them in a much greater way afterward, because now he had access to the Father in a new way. He now sat at the right hand of the Father, where before it was more like we have it today. We commune with the Father here from the earth, and we know only the Father from this perspective. Whereas after the resurrection, Jesus was able to ascend to the Father and have that power to be back to what he was originally, to what he originally had. And I think in many ways, the resurrection, I mean, we know that Jesus literally died, and that's what allowed him to go to heaven. And we know that when that happens literally for us as believers, we will also be welcomed into heaven just as Jesus was. But for now, the resurrection power also has a meaning for us, and that is that it opens up the door to the supernatural for us, the same as it did for Jesus. And if you stop and think about it, Jesus had many supernatural powers, but as he was walking up to the cross, in order for Jesus to be resurrected, he had to be killed. In other words, he had to die. That was something that had to happen. And as he was walking up to the cross, or leading up to that, you know, it sort of started when he first said to his disciples that he now needs to go to Jerusalem, for the things that were prophesied concerning me must needs come to pass. And then he started walking towards Jerusalem, and Peter tried to stop him and you know, suggest that it's too dangerous, but Jesus set his face like a flint. He said he was unmovable, and that's sort of how it got started. And then they had the Last Supper, then Judas betrayed him, then they ended up in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas betrayed him, and then once that happened, he was inside the hands of the court system. He had a trial was beaten, was mocked, was passed from the high priest to Pilate, from Pilate to Herod, and back to Pilate again. And all the while, the high priest and the Jews were, you know, wanting him to be crucified. And from then, he went to the cross and was mocked and was beaten and scourged for our sins. And then from there, he was crucified and was crucified by the Romans, who were used to doing that. And they used hammers and nails, and they used wood, made themselves a crude cross, and they dug a hole with shovels and put the cross in there and nailed Jesus on there and set the cross up with Jesus on it, and there he was crucified. And then Jesus, while he was being crucified, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He spoke those words, and as he hung there, he suffered. And so what my point is sort of summarizing all these things, is up to that point, we can imagine that scene. That's something that there's not a lot of supernatural in that. It's just basically a man that was falsely accused and who had to suffer many things because the people that were doing this to him were misunderstanding who he was, misunderstanding what he was trying to do, and because of the darkness in their hearts and because of Satan being the master of their lives, they were actually carrying out Satan's plan at that moment. But in reality, they were carrying out God's plan. But the point I'm trying to make is that up till all of that, it was basically just something that could happen today, or that was actually somewhat normal, a normal scene for those people in those days, of how a man is convicted and tried and found guilty and the procedure to have him executed. But it seems that just as Jesus was dying, and just after he died, maybe, I'm not quite sure on all those details, or just before, there was a lot of supernatural things that started happening. And that was things like the sun became dark in the middle of the day, things like an earthquake, things like the temple veil was rent in two, and also there was some reports of people waking up from their graves, people from the old, you know, way back, and I'm not sure what that looked like. I'm just quoting from what Scripture says, that some people came out of their graves and were found or seen walking around in Jerusalem. I don't know if they had conversations with anyone or not, but obviously, you know, that would create quite a stir. I'm just trying to figure out how the newspaper reporters and all the people, all the news around the town square and the town well was usually a place where people came to talk about the latest news. It'd be curious, interesting to know what all was said and, you know, how all these things were explained. But then as time went on, the grave, so Jesus was buried, and then, of course, when he rose again, there was some kind of explanation that was needed again then. So what I'm trying to say is, for the believers, all these supernatural things were a comfort to them. They were a great joy. For the unbelievers, those that had chose to go against Jesus, they were it was scary for them. In other words, the supernatural things kind of went against their persuasion. It was an argument against them. It was something that unnerved them. And so up until the supernatural things started happening, everyone understood. Everyone was fairly, they could think and process things through from a natural standpoint. But as soon as the supernatural things started happening, that's when people stood back and said, well, there's no way to explain these things. You know, how do you explain someone from 400 years ago all of a sudden walking around in town? How do you explain the darkness in the middle of the day? How do you explain the curtain in the temple that just tore from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top, not someone pulling it apart, but from the top to the bottom, just tore, just by itself? How do you explain that? How would you, if you were supposed to write a report and make an explanation to the people, how would you do that? How would you explain, you know, the many things? How would you explain the voice from heaven? And then much more, how would you explain Jesus being raised from the dead? So my point is that the resurrection power for Peter meant hope. The resurrection power for Peter meant hope. It meant that what he'd been investing in, what he's been following for 3 years, actually has some, it's real. In other words, the supernatural confirmed it. The supernatural is what convinced Peter. And it was almost like God putting his hand and his stamp upon it. And especially with it matching up to the Old Testament prophecies. So now Peter became convinced, Peter and John, because now they could open their Bibles and they could read the prophecies in the Old Testament, and now they could see them happen right before their eyes. And it opened their understanding. And I believe that the resurrection power has to do with entering into the supernatural for us. As long as we just live our Christian lives in a natural sense, to the point where everything we do makes sense, if there's no divine supernatural happening, things that we can say, well, there's no way to explain this but God did this. There's no way that this could have happened except that God did it, just like the temple veil. And I think that's what the resurrection power does for the believer, is when he reaches that point to where he has to confess and acknowledge and admit that, you know what, God is in this. God is the one doing this. This is not me. So may the Lord bless you.